Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter, and I'm a commodity broker here at StoneX. I specialize in grains and oilseed, but in my group, we have experts in energy markets, dairy markets. We also have currencies and interest rates, plastics. So if you're listening to this, if you have any questions about the products or services we offer here, please let me know. For our commercial clients and hedging clients, we offer consulting services. And for everybody, we have futures and options, OTC, structured products. You can always give me a call at 312-706-7610 or email craig.turner@stonex.com. All my contact information should be in the show notes. If you are a client, feel free to reach out to me anytime. You should also have my cell phone and you can call the cell or text me. So let's get into it. We are, where do we want to start here? Okay, let's start with the macro markets. And today, this week was a pretty big week. So we had the Fed come out and they said quarter point raise. So the Fed funds are now 5 to 5.25%. But the big difference now, and this is quite the change here to the language, and it was kind of expected, that the Federal Reserve basically said they don't feel the need to continue to raise interest rates. So for a while, for over a year, the Federal Reserve has been forecasting small incremental interest rate increases every month. And this month, they said, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, they can wait and see. They want to see how job growth is, unemployment. They want to see how inflation is, how the economy fares. Clearly, there's a banking issue going on. And they basically reserving the right to, put a hold on interest rate increases. Now, there was an interview afterwards and there were questions asked. And the press did ask Chairman Powell, what about rates going down? And, they basically said, it's way too early for that. But just changing the policy from, instead of keep on going a quarter point, where inflation is the number one and only kind of priority right now, they recognize there are other issues in the system. One, the economic slowdown, and two, what's probably the most important, is what's going on with regional banks. So the Federal Reserve likely holds here. We'll see how the economy takes that. We'll see what inflation looks like in a couple of months. But that was a big, big deal yesterday in just the changing of that language and that outlook. Now, the other thing we should take a look at here is, what does it mean for unemployment? What jobs growth will be like going forward? And those numbers came out today for both Canada and the United States. So for the United States, payrolls was up 253,000. The estimate was 85, so that was a beat. Unemployment here in the United States went to 3.4%. It was at 3.6%. That's in the face of a lower GDP number. Not exactly sure what that means. GDP is coming down, yet payrolls are increasing. Unemployment's coming down. And inflation's still hanging around 5%. But that's probably what's leading the Fed to take a little bit of a pause and wait and see approach. Canada also had their report today for jobs. They created 41,000 jobs, and we were looking for 20,000. So they doubled. They beat it. They beat the estimates by, doubled it. And on the job side, and their unemployment is steady at 5%. So, typically what we'll see here is as the United States can moves slow usually with the dollar compared to other foreign currencies when they have economic recovery. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on that Canadian dollar, because if we start to come out of this inflation issue, and if we start to see more economic growth, and maybe the recession is, you know, shallower, I would expect the Canadian dollar, and historically the Canadian dollar goes up faster than the United States and recovers faster when the recession starts to turn. So that's not saying that's going to happen now, but something to keep in mind. Those numbers from Canada were pretty good today. U.S. is okay, but the U.S. is also still having a little bit higher inflation than Canada, and the United States is also having the bigger hit to GDP than Canada did. So one thing to keep an eye on with the economy is Canada tends to turn first. It's a smaller economy, and smaller economies, just like you tend to recover faster than, you know, bigger economies. The United States, you know, is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in the world. So the United States is going to take a slower time to turn around. You know, Canada is going to be more nimble. So keep an eye on that, and we'll continue to watch that. It's kind of a sign for when things start to turn around here. That is, and then I guess I'm going to throw in energy here on the macro side. We are starting to see a little bit of a rally in the energy markets, or at least some support. Natural gas in the front months is still hanging around $2, and we're in the shoulder month. It's May. There's usually not a lot of strong demand for natural gas. We did see crude break below 70, and you know, when we saw crude, we're now above 70 as we're doing this podcast now, just above it. But we did see crude break into, in the front months, into the high 60s again. And if the market is concerned about recession, energy gets hit first. So we did see a lot of selling in the grain markets and in the commodity markets. There was concerns about recession. There was concerns about another bank failure. There is, you know, it's just the debt ceiling is coming up, and sometimes you just get these sell-offs. So we'll see what that means going forward. Crude is trying to recover here. That's 70. It had been trading between 70 and 80. Maybe 65 is kind of a temporary low. The United States is still drawing down on the SPR. In the crude oil numbers that came out in the midweek, I thought we were going to have a draw, because crude oil usage was up by 5, you know, and it was up about by 500,000 barrels more than what the market was looking for. Yet we added 1.5 million to stocks, and that was because we had another 2 million draw from the SPR while we're at $70. I thought we would be buying down here, not, you know, distributing out of the SPR. So that's interesting thing about crude oil too. Not too sure what's going on there, what the story is. Be nice to see maybe the financial press would, you know, pick up that story, but I didn't see a whole lot about it. But that was interesting. Even with crude at $70, we had the SPR still take out 2 million barrels, and instead of having a 500,000 barrel draw, we had a 1.5 billion increase at Cushing. So, and that also hurt the crude oil prices here to keep energy lower. So let's take a look at the grain markets. By the way, going forward, it's tough to get bullish crude and, you know, just the overall economy if we're concerned about growth concerns. And clearly, you know, clearly we are. And having a banking crisis, even if it's a minor banking crisis with regional banks, which it's still a big deal. And I think the market, it's tough to see commodities get a bid here, including grain and oil seeds, if that's what we're dealing with on the macro side and the financial side. So we're going to now switch over to grains and oil seeds. Today is Friday, May 5th. Next Friday is the May WASD. May WASD has the new crop estimates for all the grain and oil seed markets. So we'll see what new crop corn looks like, new crop soybeans, new all the wheats. We'll see estimates on, you know, on canola and rapeseed and everything else through, you know, through those May reports. I think what the market has done so far is discounted a pretty big bearish report in corn, soft red winter wheat, probably, and I would think on the Stats Canada side, canola too. And the reason being is if you take a look at the acres that we're planting and use trendline yields, canola, corn, and soft red winter wheat, which is the Chicago contract, those stocks expand and those stocks go from tight to adequate. They don't go to burdensome, but they do go from tight to adequate. And so, you know, so now you have those prices expected to come down. When you take a look at the same estimates for new crop, soybean stays pretty tight year over year. We're still in the 200s. We're still in like a 5 or 6% stock to usage. When I say 200, I mean 200 carry out. You know, the stock to usage or days to use is going to be like 15 to 20 days. That's still very tight for soybeans. That's why old crop is can be $14 and new crop can be $12.50, or, you know, and that's where we've been for a while. And the reason being is we're still going to be tight year over year, even with a very big South American, or I should say very big Brazilian crop, because the Argentina crop seems a bit smaller by the week here. Just looking at some of the estimates from this morning, and you know, they're warning down there that corn and soybean production in Argentina can come down again. So, I mean, on the major exporter side, Brazil is certainly, it's a good thing Brazil had a very good crop, but Argentina definitely did not. And I don't think we're going to produce, I don't think production is going to increase year over year, and we're still going to stay kind of tight here. What is concerning is Chinese demand. We heard from some of the big executives from the ABCD firms that Chinese demand is weakening. And we're seeing that. China's canceling orders here, you know, sales here in the United States. They're not buying as much from Brazil as at least they thought they were. And, you know, what you kind of got to ask yourself, what exactly is going on in China and their economy? Clearly, they're slowing down and don't have the demand for a lot of these commodity products that everyone was penciling in. So that's been hurting some of the, you know, the pricing too. You take a look at, and I just want to get back to the, you know, before I got a little sidetracked there. Soybeans, hard red winter wheat, and spring wheat are going to be probably tight, you know, tight to adequate. Even they get a little bit better than they were, you know, last year, but still on the tight side. And when you take a look at the stock to usage numbers. So you have this kind of bullish and bearish mix in the market. And if you can substitute somewhere, like if anywhere you can substitute corn and soft red winter wheat, whether it be for feed or, you know, industrial use or manufacturing or food and beverage, you will try to do that, and you will be able to take some of the demand crunch away. You know, the big wild card is going to be soybean oil and canola oil with renewable biodiesel. The production keeps on expanding, and that, you know, that should be supportive for vegetable oil and soybeans, but we still have to see how that plays out. So going forward here, you know, we're in May 5th. Grain markets have come down a lot. You know, they came down, you know, Brazil basis basically collapsed. You know, there's so many soybeans, and, you know, also with the corn coming on. And Brazil just didn't have the logistics, and they filled whatever cash contracts they could over, you know, since harvest. They loaded up everything they could into storage, but they are underserved right now in the on-farm and commercial storage in Brazil. And I bet over the next couple of years, we'll see a rapid expansion of that. And there's only so much, if you don't have enough to, you know, if you fill your cash contracts and you store as much as you can, and there's only so much logistical capacity at the ports, what ends up happening is all this excess grain gets flooded on the market, and you try to sell it through the export market at a discount to get rid of it because you can't store it. And that's what, you know, and that's what we saw happen with a lot of these grain markets. Plus, the funds are getting short. They're seeing the writing on the wall for new crop. And if there's no new crop issues, meaning there's no big demand right now for old crop, there's no weather issues going on right now, or if they are, they're minimal. So the tide has turned. So between now and, let's say, July 4th, we got 2 months. This is the state, the way I see the market. Canada's dry. And it looks like if there's going to be any kind of a weather issue, it's probably going to be somewhere in the western prairies, along with the western part of the U.S. Corn Belt. So there is going to be, I think, some weather premium built into spring wheat. I think we'll see some weather premium built into canola. Spring wheat's more of a concern than canola. If we get a rally in old crop canola to about 730, somewhere between 725 and let's say 750, 730 has become my old target on the board in canola. That's probably a selling opportunity. 750 divided by 44. It's about $17 a bushel Canadian. So somewhere between 16.5 and 17 Canadian is the target for canola. And then on the board, that would convert to somewhere between 725 and 750. For spring wheat, any rallies up into the nines is probably a sell at this point, unless things get real hairy. Because what's going on with spring wheat, I think that's going to be the last crop planted, or it's not the priority for the guys in the Dakotas. It's probably of the major crops up there that might rank the last, just for getting it in and how they're going to go about it. And then in Canada, there is dryness there. So we're going to have to keep an eye on that. And with 30 million acres, I want to say Canada is planting something like 19.3 million. The United States is about 10.4 million. And that number may even come down just because of the spring weather conditions. The United States and Canada needed to do 30 million acres of spring wheat with a good yield, just to kind of go from a tight stock to adequate stock. I don't think we're going to get those acres. Wouldn't be surprised if the North American spring wheat is closer to 29 million, maybe even somewhere between 28 and 29. That's just based on farm. We have a lot of clients in the Dakotas and the Western Prairie of Canada. That's just my gut right now. We'll see how it actually goes. And where the conditions are is I wouldn't bank on an average trend line yield either. So if that's the case, we could still be tight on the spring wheat, the high protein wheat. And then what the market will look at is, well, maybe hard red winter wheat, the Kansas City wheat, which is also high protein, kind of helps save that because it, as a substitute. And that is definitely not going to happen this year. Keep two things in mind. Majority of the wheat coming out of Ukraine is the hard red winter wheat variety, and the majority of the wheat that's grown in the United States is in the Western Belt, and the Western Belt is dry and it's been drought and it doesn't look good. So the market here is trying to kind of price these grains here, where we're going from this transition of, the lower protein wheat is going to be in abundance. Corn looks like it's going to be in abundance. Canola is transitioning to an adequate market, yet the soybeans are going to be tight, and it looks like that high wheat protein is going to be tight. And when you count in, the banking system issues that we're having, the fears of recession, lower Chinese demand, we're seeing the market come down here. That's what we've seen over the past month. And honestly, it caught me off guard. I did not think the grain markets would come down this much during April and into May. Really thought we were going to be higher here in June and July, and then the back end of this year, see the grain markets come down, the way they did. But, there's a lot of bearish cards that came out of the deck for the grain and oil seed markets here over the past month that didn't really help our cause. So, or didn't help the farmers' cause. Now, for the end user, the end users are buying, and they should, especially old crop. So maybe that's some support for the farmers out here. But if you are an end user, I would think you're coming in here and supplying as much old crop as possible. The basis is tight. The spreads are still bullish. And if you get any kind of weather issues in May, June, and July, you're kind of up the creek with how tight some of these stocks are. So there should be support on these breaks from the commercial side. But after that, there's not a ton of support past, let's say, I would think everything gets secured by July and August on the old crop side. And then anyone who needs corn going forward after that will just wait for new crop harvest. So the support coming in for the July contracts most likely is happening now. That's just the dynamic of what's there. On terms of new crop, there's really no reason for the end users to get very aggressive, especially on the soft red wheat side of things and the corn side of things, because they're looking at those balance sheets too. And they're saying to themselves, well, we're probably going to be lower in 2024. And farmers, you know, need to recognize that also. So on the farming side, if we rally here, I think we got to, you know, we go up to 550 in corn. You know, you got to start, you know, making sales with the elevator or putting hedges on the board. And then just because the end user, you know, is not going to be concerned about corn prices unless something goes wrong in the next 2 months during the growing season. Something we all need to keep in mind here. All right. So, and then I guess finally, we're going to wrap up here with just expectations for next week. We'll probably see the USDA come out with a 92 million acre new crop for corn and a 181 yield. And when you plug and chug the demand numbers, corn's going to be 1.8, 1.9, 2 billion, somewhere in there. I think that the market is already priced in. Stock to usage is going to be like 12 to 13%. And, you know, that argues a harvest low is somewhere probably in the high fours. For December, and for soybeans at 87.5 million acres, a 51.5, 52 yield, wherever that trend line is, we're probably going to add maybe 50 million bushels year over year to ending stocks. What the major wild card is going to be next week is, what does the USDA say about, one, the Argentina crop getting smaller, two, that Brazilian crop filling in for the Argentine production? And then, is there enough left over to take away from U.S. export demand? And finally, how bad is it in China, you know, with their economy and expectations for China importing soybeans and corn too next marketing year? That's going to be a pretty big one also. We'll see what the USDA says on that. And I'm going to be very interested to see what they say about wheat. I am expecting new crop wheat for the Chicago contract, soft red winter wheat. They expanded acres by 15%, and the weather's been pretty good in the eastern corn belt. And I'm expecting stock to usage to get back up to around 40% for soft red winter wheat, which means it's going to be the dog of the wheat complex. And then we'll see what they say about spring wheat acres. That'll probably, you know, probably be 10.3, just like the March report. I'll see what they say about yield, probably be trend line. They're probably not gonna change spring wheat a whole lot in May. We'll just get to see what their new crop estimates are. But the hard red winter wheat, that one's gonna be interesting. I mean, that's gonna be a huge wild card going into next week. And you can have a situation where spring wheat completely reacts off of hard red winter wheat next week too. Maybe discounts whatever's going in soft red winter wheat. So that is where we are. In terms of trading, I do like some of these bear spreads that are coming up seasonally. You know, we start to see September corn being bear spread against March. I think that's going to look interesting on our rally, especially if we get up to par on that spread. And then on soybeans, which will be a little bit bigger risk and reward on that. The September-January seasonal is coming up this month too. At both of these seasonals kicking after the WASDE. I think both of those could be interesting. On the trading side of things. And if anyone wants to take a look at it or talk about it, let me know. Then we'll just wrap up here. So if you are a buyer of grain and oil seeds, you're probably securing as much old crop as possible, getting it out of the way, and that'll be supportive. And then you're probably taking a wait and see approach for 2024. That's going to be the playbook, I think, for a lot of end users. And then on the farmers, you've got basically between now and July 4th, you know, to capture any kind of rally because of weather here. And I think it'll be smart to take advantage of those prices unless some kind of drought develops. But in the United States, it doesn't look that way. could get some tightness in, you know, we're going to have lower production in the Western belt. Canada seems to be the one we got to really keep an eye on. And that's more of a spring wheat canola issue. And if you're a corn or a soybean farmer, especially a corn farmer, you got to use any kind of rallies because of the weather or other commodities dragging it higher to get some coverage on here. So, or make some sales. So I hope everyone's had a great week. We are going to have, the WASD on Friday. If anyone wants to talk about how we should be positioned heading to that report, give me a call. My number is 312-706-7610. And you can email me at craig.turner@stonex.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.